100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say.
Hey, 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 it's Digital Sista, and I'm back. Well, thanks to all my listeners around the world, and thanks for passing the podcast around and helping it to continue to grow. I do want to start off first by, it's a bit of a sad note, we just want to take a few moments to remember R&B crooner Gerald Levert. In the next couple of days, I'm going to be dropping a kind of a special podcast with my tech whiz, Michael Lilly. We're going to be doing a special podcast remembering Gerald because Gerald was a fellow high school alum of Shaker Heights High School, of which, you know, Michael Lilly Tech Wiz and I went to. And it's kind of like just remembering somebody that I didn't know him personally, but just someone who was from our town, from our high school, who, you know, left us way too early. And Michael Tech Wiz is going to have some really special memories and insights because he was photographing Gerald even from the early days in the 1980s when he was out doing shows in local parks, you know, during the Jerry Curl era. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he'll have some special memories about Gerald that only an insider will have and that you will only hear on Digital Sista. So stay tuned for that in the next couple of days. We send our condolences to the Levert family in Cleveland and all of his friends and family members around the world. He's really going to be missed. And he was our local homeboy here in Cleveland who did really, really well, and he never forgot that he came from Cleveland. So we're really going to miss him, and just stay tuned in the next couple of days for a special reflection about our dear friend, the late Gerald Levert. Well, I have to tell you, I can't even count down with the iPod because it came so quickly. I mean, I ordered it last Saturday and it came last Tuesday. Now, was it last Tuesday? I don't remember, but it was very quick. In any event, I am so excited because now I feel like I'm on the cutting edge with the rest of the world. The little iPod has to be about the size of a matchbook. It's just totally amazing. The sound is out of this world. And, you know, the clip-on is very strong, so you can move about and not worry about it falling off. And it's just a really, really neat toy to have. And I say toy because it is a toy. I've just been having so much fun downloading music that I've loved for a long time, but that you never really hear on the radio today. I'm talking like classics from early LL Cool J, some Frankie Knuckles house mixes, jazz guitarist Steve Laurie. I just love his music. He used to play with the group Fatburger. And Chaka Khan singing some jazz. I mean, just a great collection of music that I've always loved, but I haven't been able to hear it. But now, having my iPod and iTunes, I can fill it up with all the music that I love. So far I've got about 12 cuts on there. So I've got, I'd say about 230 something more songs to download. So I'm having a great time with it, and I just encourage anybody who loves good music and has the desire to have music on that you don't really hear too much anymore, get yourself an iPod and download all the music that you want. It's really great. I'm having a great time with it. Well, it looks like Prince is doing something really, really innovative and cool. He's opening up his own club. It's called 3121 in Rio Hotel. And it just kind of launched. He performed starting last Wednesday, and apparently he's going to be playing like two nights a week for an indefinite period at his club inside the Rio Hotel. And just to show you how hot this venue is, the tickets are $125, and they're already sold out for the very first weekend. And I'm sure it's going to be sold out for as long as people know that he's going to be there playing, because I've seen him a couple of times in the live show, and it is just one big party. Prince enjoys himself, he loves to play, and he just likes you to get into it and have a good time. So I think that would just be a wonderful trip to go see him play. So apparently he's going to play regularly Friday and Saturday nights at his club. And the club's going to hold about 900 people, so that's pretty sizable. And he has complete solo artistic control. And adjacent to 3121 is a restaurant called 3121 Jazz Cuisine, which is being run by Prince's personal chef. So he has got this whole club Hotel Rio thing locked down. This is his vision. It's his club. This is what he wants. And so it's very interesting that John Meglin, who's president of AEG Live, is backing this venture to bring Prince, you know, within this new venue. So it's going to be really, I think, very very cool, and it probably is going to work out very well for him, because look at all the artists that are flocking to Vegas to get shows. I mean, you have Celine Dion, who's been there probably 2 or 3 years now with her show. You have Lionel Richie, who's a regular. You know, lots of the stars are getting headlining acts and creating shows so they can be featured at the hotel. So I think that's pretty neat. And that would be something to definitely go and check out. Well, check this out. There's a whole nother genre coming out called hood films. And one of the big titles is called Concrete Hell. And it was created by, let me see here. Well, let me tell you who this was a little bit later. Oh, yeah. His name is Kyle Shazlock Jackson. He's 36 years old. And he's kind of been pioneering this whole hood film genre. And in fact, Kevin Epps, who's also 36, kind of pioneered it back in 2003 with his documentary called Straight Outta Hunter's Point, and he was really considered the pioneer, although jazz is coming up to speed from a more modern standpoint. But anyway, these hood films are very interesting because they're filmed and edited using you know, video equipment, and probably not even higher-end video equipment, but it's really to show the grittiness of urban street life and gang life, and that's what these are all about. The reality, it's not fiction, it's not Hollywood, this is the real thing in some gritty neighborhoods. Really, what they're saying now with hood films is that it's the visual manifestation of gangster rap. You know, raw and sometimes violent snapshots that we see with America and some of the gang-plagued neighborhoods. So this is kind of a new genre, which is very much like the gangster rap back in the 90s, you know, that came out where you got a whole nother sound and really reflecting on what was going on in the street life. And so this medium, the hood films, I think is kind of innovative because you have people being creative and they're not waiting to go to film school or anything like that. They're just taking their video equipment, going out and shooting things, editing it, and selling them for like $20 that you can sell at swap meets, mom and pop record stores, websites. And there's a website called streetgangs.com and gangstadvd.com where you can get a lot of these titles. They're raw, they're gritty, and very, you know, just very in your face. So I think that's kind of interesting. And what a lot of the Concrete Hell is about is, it basically it's overwhelming, and the overriding theme is that it seems to be a warning for rival gangs as a way to tell them, like, don't come into certain areas, you know, stay off the turf, whatever. But I think it's interesting that even though Kyle Jackson is showing some gritty life with Concrete Hall, he doesn't want to show, like, the worst of the worst out there. So he has kind of toned down what we see. You don't see excessive drugging. You don't see a lot of the other really, like, negative types of things. He didn't want to show people at their worst, but he just wanted to show what gang life is really all about. And something you probably have to worry, which is an irony, that prosecutors used some footage from one of the Ross films. It was a 2005 documentary, Hood to Hood, in their case against Jonathan Leon Tolliver, an alleged member of a Las Vegas gang charged in a 2004 shooting. So I guess probably on one hand, a lot of the folks would want to see themselves on film, and it's a way for them to have a voice, and it's a way for them to be acknowledged and validated. But they probably have to be careful, because if they're on a film and perhaps they're not edited out, then if there's some cases out there where the cops or the feds or whomever is investigating and they happen to come across one of these films because it has information that they need about a particular person, that's going to be a tough one to deal with. So I'm guessing that even though probably a lot of the folks in these films are very lots of bravado and you know, bragging and all of that, you know, they probably have to look over their shoulder to make sure that that particular film doesn't get into the hands of the cops and cause them problems. So on one hand, it's entertainment, but on the other hand, it could be used against them. So I'm guessing that they're probably going to have to be very careful, and I don't know how they can control that, but at least be very careful and hope that you starring in one of these films, if you have some issues, you know, with the police and the cops and all that, that it doesn't turn around and bite you in the behind. But anyway, very interesting that here's another genre coming out from the hood by people from the hood who are giving themselves the voice to tell their own stories. And it's very much like the gangsta lit genre that was pioneered in the early 80s, I'm sorry, in the 70s, but then really came back in a big way, you know, with Vicky Stringer and her gangsta lit fiction from Triple Crown Publications, whom, as I talked about in the previous podcast, I had the pleasure of actually meeting October 17th this year, and I'm proud to say she's going to be on my radio show December 5th. So I'm going to have a chance to really interview her about this whole genre of gangster lit. And so it's very interesting. So it never ceases to amaze me, the innovativeness of people in the urban environment. I mean, it just makes sense, because the stories may be gritty and raw, but they're the stories from people in that environment, and it's not just Hollywood. So I think it's kind of neat that that they're figuring out ways to create mediums to tell their stories and get their stories told and get the attention of people beyond that environment, you know, whether it be negative or positive. It's another vehicle that young people can use to tell their stories and get their message out about the way life really is. And that's something that somebody sat around a big table in, you know, Beverly Hills or Los Angeles, in one of those areas, in one of those cushy plus offices that, you know, they would never come down into the hood or drive through to see what it was really like. So kind of interesting to see how that genre pans out. It's probably very big underground, very much like a lot of the gangster lit. But I thought it was just very neat that this is coming to the forefront. Well, looks like we have some changes in management company with two of hip-hop's biggest stars. Looks like Diddy is going to be joining Violator Management, and apparently this is a hot management company because they already represent 50, Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, LL Cool J, 3-6 Mafia, Fantasia, and others. And so now they're going to add Diddy as a high-profile client. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be representing Diddy in all areas of music, and they're going to be doing strategic work for him, and they're really going to be working on brand extension of the Diddy brand. So that will be very interesting to see what else he adds to the brand. I mean, he's got the rims, he's got restaurants, the clothes, the cologne. So it's going to be very interesting to see what other ventures that Violator can come up with. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out, because they seem to have all the hot rappers as it is. Now, it looks like Eminem is also making some changes with his representation. He has just signed with talent agency International Creative Management, ICM, in Hollywood, because he wants to do more film work. So he is looking to do more films. And he left his old firm, United Talent Agency, and he brought his Paramount-based production company, Interscope Shady Aftermath Films, along with them at ICM. So it's interesting how a lot of the rappers are, as they're getting older, and you know, as they get older and, you know, life changes a bit, you know, you're not singing about the same stuff. You want to grow. You want to do other things. So it's interesting that many of the rappers are really going the route of the entertainment career, meaning they're wanting to be in more film, or they're wanting to do commercials, or they're just wanting to just expand and really really capitalize on their name that they made as a rapper and entertainer. So it's interesting to see that they're doing this. Remember back in the mid-90s when Hammer was hot, MC Hammer, whatever you want to call him, when he was really hot back there with You Can't Touch This, and he was contributing movies to the Addams Family and doing all this stuff, commercials and everything. And a lot of the rappers in the community at the time were just throwing a lot of hate and saying that he was a sellout and all that. But they were just jealous because he had already, you know, crossed over into that realm and was really doing some interesting things. And so, you know, you had a lot of hate in the community because they hadn't gotten to that point yet. But soon thereafter, you know, the Ice Cubes and everybody else started following suit, getting movie deals, commercials. Like I said before, Snoop making commercials with Lee Iacocca, of all people, with Chrysler. So, you know, it's interesting to see that there has to be life beyond just being a rap star if you're smart. You're able to turn that into other things. So, yeah, kudos to the rappers for having some vision and looking at ways that they can expand and grow. And, hey, look, you can always come back and make a record if need be. I mean, that's what Ice Cube did. He started off, you know, being kind of a hardcore rapper, then he kind of morphed into an actor, producer, and made a couple of films. And, you know, last year he dropped his first music CD in about 7 years. So, you know, you do other things, you can always come back, and you have some longevity. And that is the key that I think the rappers are looking at when they look at some of the other entertainers and some of the other music genres. They're looking at how they're going to have longevity. You got to move beyond just being a rap star. So it's good that they're maturing and taking advantage of the entertainment industry and, you know, taking other steps to have longevity, because that's really what it is all about. well. I'm so glad that the King Memorial is like taking form, that they had the ceremony yesterday and that they're breaking ground for this. I think that's very, very exciting. And it seems to have taken about 10 years to get to this point, from when President Clinton signed the bill into law in 1996 to the actual groundbreaking. And the organization that is raising the money for them, they're just a few million shy, which I think is extremely impressive. It's called the it's Harry Johnson, who's president of the Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial Project Foundation, and his group has raised some $71.5 million of the project's $100 million cost. And mostly it's come from private donations, and some large companies like Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Lehman Brothers, AARP, and National Educational Association have contributed something like $1 million to this very important project. And I don't think, you know, he was assassinated 40 years ago, and it's taken about 10 years to get to this point. But, you know, in the scheme of things, that's not a long time, and it's really such a tremendous honor. It's unfortunately that Coretta, you know, didn't make it another year to see this, but at least the kids, three of the kids were there, so that added some continuum with the family. But I think what an honor, what an absolute honor, that he and his legacy and his philosophy will be memorialized forever, and especially within the view of the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, and those great structures that really represent aspects of our history. So it is quite an honor, and when you look at some of the pictures, you see some of the old guard who's been there from day one. You know, Jesse Jackson had tears in his eyes, and Representative John Lewis, you know, the same thing. So they've been around a long time, and they've seen a lot, so I'm sure they were just delighted and had mixed feelings, you know, joy and sadness that this great tribute has finally come to be. So again, you know, we have problems with our country with some things, but on many occasions they actually get it right, and this is one of those situations where they actually got it right. So kudos to our government for not finding a reason not to do it. Well, I've had some other interesting, exciting news. I was interviewed by Roxanne Revenal for her Urban Entrepreneur Reality Show podcast, and she also has a second one called the Virtual Entrepreneur's Edge podcast. So I was a guest last week, and she interviewed me for both shows, so that was very exciting to me. And also, as she indicated, I'll be participating in an online conference that she is putting together, gocompletelyvirtual.com. That's the website. So it's kind of cool that Digital Sister is getting known, and people are seeking me out and putting me on the show. So I'm very, very excited about that. Well, you know what? I think I've about run out of things I want to talk about today. I'm going to go play with my iPod and download some more music. But you know what? You continue to listen to Digital Sister, continue to pass it around, and hopefully, you know, we'll be talking about some songs that we want to share with each other. So until I get back to you in the next couple of days with Remembrances of Gerald Levert, take care of yourself and have a great week, and continue to listen to Digital Sister. Digital Sister is signing out. Talk to you later. Have a great week.
Who tests you can mess with it?